A Bit of Silk by CCC. Ginny Weasley stared at the leopard print thong that she had just pulled out of her underwear drawer. She tried to come up with a reason that it might be there. Maybe one of her teenage boys had started cross-dressing. She summoned a house elf and asked, "Where did this come from?"
Tilly replied, "I found them in Zachary's room."
Ginny took a deep breath as she wondered whether she'd enjoy spending time lingerie shopping with her son. "Did you find any other women's things in his room?"
"No, that's the only misplaced item I found."
Ginny nodded.
"Thank you, Tilly. That is all." The house elf disappeared, and Ginny tried to come up with a reason that the thong would be in her house. Unfortunately, the only viable conclusion she could come to was that her husband was a lying, cheating bastard. Ginny tossed the offensive bit of silk back into the drawer and slammed it shut. She pressed the palms of her hands to her eyes and prayed that when she opened the drawer, she would see only the normal bikini knickers that she'd been wearing for the last 20 years. Taking a deep breath, she opened the drawer and was immediately assaulted by the small scrap of leopard skin silk that was lying on top of her respectable knickers. Was that why Draco was cheating on her? Was her underwear boring? He never complained. He told her that her arse had not gotten bigger after the birth of their two sons, and Merlin, how she loved him for that lie. Apparently, however, he knew the truth about her arse, because he was now shagging someone with an arse much smaller than her own. Growling in frustration, Ginny grabbed a pair of knickers out of the drawer and stomped off to the shower. Maybe after the shower she would know what to do. 20 minutes and a good cry later, Ginny had a plan. She charmed her face so that Blaze Zabini wouldn't be able to tell she had been crying, and then walked over to the fireplace, threw in some flue powder, and called his name. Blaze's face appeared in the flames. He took one look at Ginny and asked,
"What did he do now?"
Ginny took a deep breath and said, "I need you and Daphne to take the boys for tonight."
Blaze sighed. "Is it bad?"
Ginny growled,
"You might want to prepare a guest room for Draco while you're at it."
"Just remember, it might not be as bad as you think."
Ginny frowned.
"I'm afraid it might be worse. If it comes down to it, could I stay with you and the girls for a while?"
"Of course. Daphne, LaSalle, Zelda, and I would love to have you stay with us. We love Draco, but we know he can be impossible. Send the boys over for now, and then wait to see what Draco has to say before you jump to any conclusions, all right?"
"Thank you," was all Ginny said before she cut the connection. Trying to put on a happy face, she walked towards her boys' rooms. She found 14-year-old Zachary in his room reading a Quidditch magazine.
"You're going to stay at the Zabinis tonight."
Zachary looked up with a smile. "Cool. LaSalle is a wicked flyer."
Ginny smiled at her youngest son. She was mildly surprised at the easy friendship he had developed with LaSalle. The girl was 3 years older, but they both seemed to have a passion for flying. She found Devon in the parlor reading a book.
"Devon, you'll be staying the night at the Zabinis."
Devon stared at his mother for a moment before he asked, "How much trouble is father in?"
Ginny frowned. Devon was far too perceptive for his 17 years. He always knew when trouble was brewing between his parents.
"It's nothing too big,"
Ginny lied. Devon nodded and went back to his book. An hour before their father was due home, Ginny hustled the boys through the flue to the Zabinis. Daphne informed her that she and Blaze had arranged for a barbecue since the summer evening was so lovely. Ginny was grateful that the boys would be entertained. With an hour left to wait, Ginny decided to fix herself up. She rarely bothered with elaborate makeup anymore. When she had finished with the makeup charm, she looked in the mirror and smiled. She still looked good. If Draco wanted to chase some floozy with a small arse, then maybe she'd just find some entertainment on the side for herself. The thought made her smile for about 1 minute, and then she grabbed her wand and removed the charms. Either he wanted her for herself, or he didn't want her at all. Ginny walked into the parlor and sat down to wait.
Draco apparated into the room and smiled at Ginny. When she didn't smile back, he said,
"Oh, hell, what's wrong? Are the boys all right?"
"The boys are fine," Ginny confirmed as she pulled the thong out of her pocket and tossed it at his feet. "You, however, are a dead man." Draco looked at what Ginny had tossed at his feet.
"Am I supposed to know what that is?"
Ginny glared at him.
"Pick it up."
Draco bent down and picked up the bit of silk. He looked at the knickers and then looked at his wife.
"Where did these come from?"
"They came from whatever piece of trash you were shagging in my house," Ginny yelled.
Draco looked at her. "Have you lost your mind?"
"No, apparently I've just lost your interest," Ginny retorted.
Draco rubbed his hand across his face and took a deep breath before he asked, "Why am I late to work several mornings a week?" Ginny shrugged but didn't respond.
"I am late, you crazy woman, because I stay in bed with you too long. I have not lost interest in you. Where is this coming from?"
Ginny sputtered.
"It's coming from those damn knickers!"
Draco walked forward and looked into his wife's eyes.
"I swear on my name as a Malfoy that I have never seen these knickers before. I am not cheating on you. I swear it."
Ginny still looked at him with suspicion, and Draco cursed.
"Damn it all, let me prove it to you, although my word should be good enough."
Draco pulled out his wand and muttered a spell to show who the owner of the item was. The name, Lascelle Zabini, shimmered in the air.
"See? They belong to Lascelle. I'm not that surprised. She and Devon have been spending time together since they were children. They are the same age. It's a good match."
Ginny frowned.
"Tilly said they came from Zachary's room."
Draco tried to hide his smile, but he couldn't.
"Zachary and Lascelle. I am impressed. She's 3 years older than him."
Ginny burst into tears, and Draco looked at her.
"What is wrong now?"
"Zachary is my baby. He can't be. It's just wrong."
Draco walked forward and hugged his wife.
"Darling, your baby is a foot taller than you."
Ginny sniffled.
"That Sabini girl took advantage of him."
Draco chuckled as he held his wife.
"Ginny, I am quite sure that Zachary did not mind whatever Lascelle did with him. Now that I think about it, those two are normally off racing brooms somewhere while Devon and Zelda chat in the parlor about what books they've been reading."
"It's just wrong,"
Ginny muttered into Draco's shirt.
"Can I assume that you are no longer mad at me?"
Draco asked in a light tone. Ginny glared at him.
"You are forgiven."
Draco snorted.
"You realize I didn't do anything to be forgiven for, don't you?"
Ginny poked him in the chest.
"Yes, you did. You passed on those Malfoy genes to my boys. Now older girls are going to chase them around."
"I accept total responsibility for that.
You know they are better off than if they took after your brothers. I don't think Ron got Granger in the sack until our last year at Hogwarts."
Ginny snorted.
"That shows what you know."
"Oh, you're right. Granger probably threw him down on a table in the library and shagged him senseless out of sheer sexual frustration. Poor girl probably had to tutor him in that as well."
Ginny chuckled.
"You're awful."
Draco kissed the top of her head.
"I believe that is what you like about me."
He kissed her cheek and asked, "Can I assume that you sent the boys away for the night?"
"Yes."
"Oh, I sent my babies to the Zabini Den of Iniquity."
Draco kissed her cheek and then whispered in her ear, "It's been a long time since we've had the house to ourselves." Ginny looked up at him and said,
"Tell me my arse is still the same size."
"Your arse is lovely, and it is still the same size."
"Oh, I love you," Ginny said before she kissed him.
Blaise Zabini called out from the fireplace.
"I guess you talked your way out of another tight spot, Malfoy." Draco pointed his wand at the flue and turned it off without replying, and then smirked at his wife and said, "I think we ought to start in the kitchen."
The end.